Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Good Saturday morning. Good Saturday morning. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Good morning. It's Saturday morning worship service, and we're here at Saturday morning Sunday. Of course, you know who I am, Charles Tate, and I'll be your teacher for the next so many minutes. Right now, let's do what's necessary. Let's go to our Father. Lord God, our Father, thank you this morning for allowing us once again into this, into your word. Father, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. See, Father, we have only one reason to rejoice. That's because you thought of us a long time ago, and you made a way to come spend forever with you. That forever starts when we accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, and it goes on into forever. So, Father, right now, all we ask is just allow us to get out of what we're reading this morning, what you mean for us to get. Not about me, Father. The great part about it, Father, is you made it all about us. So we thank you for your word. Thank you for this guide that you've given us to carry us through these lives that we live here. But more than that, Father, we thank you for coming down and walking in our shoes just so you would know how we feel, what we did, what was absolutely necessary. Not that you didn't know, but you chose to experience it yourself. So we would have no reason to say that you didn't. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Okay, once again, we're in the book of Philippians.
We got a connection problem. There's some noise. Whatever, when you start talking or some kind of feedback is coming through.
Okay, I'm going to put this other headset on.
Okay.
Okay, we had a technical problem for a minute. All right, all right. There we go. Okay, now, we're in Philippians chapter 3 this morning. And, of course, we know where we are. Paul is on house arrest.
And he's writing back to the believers in Philippi, church that he had started some 8 to maybe 10 years prior to him writing this letter. And like I'm going to continue to say, this is Paul's joy book. But what he's doing, he's writing back to the believers in Philippi to encourage them. And this morning we're going to read, while we're going through, we're going to read about why Paul is so encouraging. We get to find out now just what it really is. We've already ran across some things as we come up to here, come to where we are. If you don't know anything about Paul, I'm going to just take you back to, I don't know what chapter in John it is, but Paul had a one-on-one encounter with Christ himself. So Paul got to see Christ face to face, and he also got to be taught by Jesus Christ himself. And that was a game changer for Paul. I'm going to just say this right now. If you think you have nothing to be joyful for, nothing to rejoice for, you're absolutely wrong. Because this first verse that we're going to read in Philippians chapter 3 says it all. And chapter 3, verse 1 says, now remember, this is a letter. So when we talk about chapters and verses, that's now how it was written. So we're going to read it just like it's a letter. If you don't hear me say chapter and verse and verse and verse this morning, don't get upset. When you get a chance, you can go back to your Bible and maybe come back and understand. Plus, it's a lot easier for me if we just go ahead and read this. And we're going to read it just like it was written back a long time ago as Paul, as a letter. And it says this, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Now, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. And that really just speaks for itself. No matter what goes on in your life, no matter how did they start to how did they end. Like that song say, I'm going to be joyful. Because we have to understand, and we really just have to come to realize that God got us. You know, I read something once that, and it said, somebody gave me a hat. I like to wear hats if you know me, but it says relax. Because God is still in control. And like Paul says here, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord, when it says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Now, what does that mean, to safeguard? To safeguard. You know, we all know what a safe is. A safe is somewhere where you put something that's important to keep it so nobody else can get to it. And we as believers, you know, we have to come to know that we have to just remind ourselves on a daily basis. We're going to have things that's going to come at us. We're going to have things that's going to take us off our page. We're going to have people that are going to challenge. They're going to challenge our beliefs. But at the same time, the Bible that we have in front of us, it tells us everything that we need to know about navigating through these lives. But you have to be careful. When something comes at you that might challenge your faith, you have to just stand on what you believe. Remember that word safeguard. You have to take what you have and you're safe, and that word of God, that knowing that you're God's child, that knowing that you already have been accepted in eternity, nothing can ever take you off your page, that you got locked in that box that you have, that what you know. And you have to stand on it. Now, it goes on to say, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Once again, I'm going to say that, you know, Paul was writing a letter back to the people in Philippi. And these dogs that they talk about were the Judaizers. The Judaizers were a group of people that went around and basically just told people, if you're not living according to the law And that was the law of Moses before Christ came, the written law. And understand me, some of those laws were given by God himself to Moses. You know, when we talk about the Ten Commandments and the other books that were established in the early, early, early church, not the Christian church, but the Jewish church, the Jewish law. And they really wanted people then to say that the law was correct. And if you don't live according to the letter of the law, bottom line, you know, you're not saved. And one of the big things that they talked about in the law was, as we get to the next, what I'm going to read next, it says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly, when they talked about a minute, we just saw that. Those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Now, I don't know if everybody knows what circumcision is, but when you get a chance, go back and look it up. It's a surgical procedure. I'm going to just say it's a surgical procedure that goes on most of the time, even now, when we're born, where it involves some pain. They usually do it when it's a baby. But can you imagine having this done when you was a grown man? Now, you look it up for yourself, because being a man myself, I don't even like to think about it. But it involves pain. And it does. It involves the cutting away of something from a certain part of your body. And it hurts. And the Judaizers were saying, you know, if you didn't do this, you're not saved. And Paul says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put confidence in, we put no confidence. Let's go back to that. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. And we all know, and if you don't, Jesus Christ went to the cross on our behalf. Jesus Christ went to the cross just for us. He came down here, walked as a man, lived for 33 years in our shoes, and all of this was done just for us. He chose to do this. When he was in the garden, he went to his father and he said, Father, if it's any way possible, and that was human because he was God, man, and God himself. But at the same time, he went to the Father and he said, if it's any way possible, I don't have to do this. Take it away from me. But then he went on to tell him, let my will be done, not you. Let your will be done, not mine. And it says we rely on what Christ, Paul tells them, if we rely on what Christ has done for us. See, Paul is writing to these people, and what he's been doing, he's encouraging them. He's not just encouraging them, he's reminding them of what they already have been taught, what they already know. And we go back to that safeguard. What you already know and what you already been taught and what has already been proven to be true, you have to hold on to that. Go on to read. We continue to read. When it says, we put no confidence in human effort, though I have confidence in my own effort, if I have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Now, we're about to move into a part right now where when I first read it, I thought about it and I said, okay, now we're talking about Paul's resume, but that's not what Paul's doing. And then Paul's not tooting his own horn. So we're going to continue to read and we're going to go here. This is Paul speaking when he says, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Now, let's see what Paul says after that. Paul goes on to say, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. The tribe of Benjamin. Now, if you know anything about the tribe of Benjamin, The tribe of Benjamin was a warring tribe. What I mean by that is the tribe of Benjamin, I don't know if, Lord, say, if, can I say this word, Lord? The tribe of Benjamin, they weren't punks. They believed in going in and doing what they had to do. The tribe of Benjamin were fighters. They believed in going in and doing what they had to do in order things happen. And it says, Paul goes on to say, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Now, if you know anything about Paul, you know Paul, like you said here, Paul was a persecutor of the Christian church. See, the Pharisees lived according to the law, and not just the law of the Jewish law, but also the laws that they had implemented into the Jewish law. They had their own code of conduct. That's the only way I can think of to put it. And if you didn't obey the code of conduct that they laid down, then it really wasn't right. The other thing we have to realize is during this time, the Romans were already also in place. And I don't want to jump ahead too far. No, I'm going to say that right now. The Romans were already in place, and they were living in Rome, but the Pharisees had their own code of conduct that they lived by, like I said before. And if you didn't obey that code of conduct or go by how that law went, as far as they're concerned, you know, you weren't saved. And that's what led Paul to be a persecutor of the Christian church, because everything that Jesus brought to the table and everything that Jesus was preaching didn't go along with what was being taught by the Pharisees in the temple. See, Jesus came in, as we all know, as a baby. And then he came in as a humble man. The Pharisees and the law was looking for a Messiah that came back that would come in as a conqueror, that would come in just taking things over. Now, there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to come back like that. But when he first came, like I said, he came down here so that he would be able to sympathize with everything that we go through. And the Judaizers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wasn't accepting that. So they had a problem with Jesus. And like I said before, anybody that didn't obey the law to the strictest letter, they were, don't want to say infidels, but there was no place for them. And Jesus, like he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. But that's another story. But anyway, let's go on and read. Paul said, I was so jealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. You see, goes on to say, I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If you were a Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin, if you was a real Hebrew, if there ever was one, you were somebody that people looked up to in that time. They were kind of like we have our people that we put on pedestals. Yeah, you was a hero. And Paul was all of that. He was the Jew. He was the Jew's Jew. But right here we see, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Paul flipped. And he did. Paul flipped. Like I talked about the encounter that he had with Jesus. Like I said, I don't know exactly where it is, but it is in the book of Acts where Paul ran one-on-one into God. Jesus knocked him off a horse, and the first thing that Paul said was, "Lord," when he looked up. Jesus himself came down and made Paul realize just who he really is. And not the Jesus that was seen on the cross. Because if I am mistaken, Paul was alive when Jesus got put on the cross. So he probably, if not saw it, he probably heard about it himself. And now you're being conquered by this one that now is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For Paul here says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I would gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my, so I could gain Christ, I had to stop there, and become one with him. See, Paul considered everything he had ever accomplished in his life. And here he decided, he's writing about it all because he said it's all worthless compared with the greatness of knowing Christ. And we have to come to understand, you know, Paul was just a man just like us. And he was a man, a woman, or a person just like us. And we as believers, we've got to come to understand just not whose we are, but who we are. We read earlier, I forgot who taught Ephesians, I think it was Pastor John that taught Ephesians, when we are royal priesthood and we've been adopted into the family of God. We're God's children. Believer, you have the same rights that Jesus had. And the thing about it is that Jesus doesn't weigh them over, don't hold them over your head. He's okay with you being with him. He looks at us as brothers and sisters. He's okay with all that. And we have to just come to recognize who we are. But right now, Paul is encouraging these people, as we found out in Philippians, because they're going through a time that's not like our time. Persecution is still going on in that time. But Paul right now is saying, when he says, yes, everything is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Paul is telling them right now, just plain and simple, all of that I've done means absolutely nothing. And I am really happy. When he wrote in that first, when we read in that first verse, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul, when we talked about his joy letter, Paul is really rejoicing right now because he has come to understand no matter what I've done in this life that might make me look big to people, none of that matters. And like I said, Paul was a Pharisee, so he was at the top of the ladder. But now he realized even the ladder is nothing. Nothing that you can do in this life. Nothing that he could do in this life compares to what Jesus had done. Compares to what not just Jesus had done, but what Jesus can do with your life. You see, Jesus is life himself. I just got to say that. Anyway, let's keep reading. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I would experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul is basically saying here, I'm giving up everything. I'm giving it all up. because I just want to know. I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Now, in order for us to go to heaven, a sacrifice had to be made. And on what we call on Easter, that's when that sacrifice was made. Not Easter, but 3 days prior to that. The cross reminds us of what was done on our behalf. Jesus Christ gave up everything. Came down here. When it talks about if we go back just real quick to chapter 2, though he was God, he did not think equality with God. He appeared in human form. He humbled himself as obedient to God and died a criminal death on the cross. The God of creation did all of that for us. And Paul has recognized that. And Paul is telling these people, no matter, nothing even compares. Nothing comes close to. And Paul is telling them that, I want to know, I want to do the exact same thing that Jesus did. I want to be just like Christ. All the way up to, you know, I'd use when it says, I remember reading somewhere, I'll pour out my life like a drink offering. Nothing. Nothing. It all means nothing, no matter who you are, what status that you hold, it all means absolutely nothing if you don't have Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ gave up everything. And when Paul says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding at all. Paul said, I want to go to the cross. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to do exactly what Jesus did. So that one way or another, I would experience the resurrection from the dead. In order for somebody to be resurrected, somebody had to die. But we all know, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you right now, there is only one person that ever went to the cross and came back alive. And that's Jesus Christ himself. More than 400 or 500 people saw him after he got down off the cross. And Paul was one of those people, like I talked about before. He had a one-on-one with Christ. But he's reminded, what he's doing is telling these people, nothing else matters unless you have that connection with Christ. But Paul is also telling them, and he was serious about that, so that I will one way or another will experience the resurrection from the dead. The great part about it, people, is that we really don't have to go to a cross like they did. But like Paul gave up everything to get to where he is, and if you don't know it, Paul wrote over 13 books of the New Testament. But I'm going to just leave it with this today. You know, we got to be able to give up everything. But we also know, if we look back real quick in chapter 3, that after Christ went to the cross, therefore God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him round above all names. If you give up everything for Christ, look for that elevation. Take time out to spend that hour, that few minutes every day with God. Take time out of your busy schedule to put that one thing aside that you say you can't let go. Give it all up. Do yourself a favor. Like my pastor always used to tell me, bless yourself on purpose. Give it all up. Because, see, this is not just a story that we're reading. This was real. Paul was real, and he wrote it down so that not only he would encourage the people in Philippi, but he wrote it so that he would, and it's in this book so that it would encourage us. And always remember this. Jesus got up from the cross, from the grave. Jesus is now sitting on the right-hand side of the Father interceding for us. He's real. He's not fake. And back to the circumcision part, and when we talked about something having to be done, the only thing that, it's already been done for you. It's already been done for you. And that's what Paul is encouraging the people with. Just go ahead and live for Christ, because he's already taken care of the rest. We out of time. That's it for today. I guess I got to get back with you next week. Hope I made some sense. All right, let's go out with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for your word that you've given us. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we're going to be joyful. We're going to rejoice. But we got to remember that joy is found in you. Happiness is temporary, but joy lasts forever. So thank you. Thank you so very much for just thanking us a long time ago and giving us the opportunity to sit here and study your word. And not just study your word, Father, to live by your word, putting everything to the side, safeguarding our faith, and walking on what we believe. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you once again, Deacon Tate, another Deacon Charles Tate, another great lesson today. Give God all the glory. Nothing can compare to what Jesus can do in our life. Bless yourself on purpose. So thank you. We appreciate you, Deacon Tate.
All right, Miss Kathy, goodbye. Right.
Enjoy your day.
You too.
All right, thanks. All right, get your tea, your coffee, your crumpet, and after this next song selection, we will start our morning worship service, and we'll see you on the other side. All right.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh. Can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb. You make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement. Broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful. I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God. I believe those lies. I know the truth now. Cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hand. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive. We just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Wonderful Christ Ministries Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Cliver, your presiding person for this Saturday Morning Worship Experience, brought to you by Wonderful Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Wonderful Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And guess what? Today is Youth Weekend, and on the 4th and 5th Saturday of each month, we give the youth the opportunity to serve and participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to do scripture and prayer. It is our very own King Darius Freeman. Welcome. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for being with us. Take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And like she said, my name is Darius Freeman, and I'll be opening up this Saturday morning. This morning, I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I repeat, 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right, God's, are God's children. See how very much of our Father loves us, for he called us his children, and that it is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children, so they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as pure as he is. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live with him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, and who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are God's children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity once again offer up to you so much praise, so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of the faith that are lifted up to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and the comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted up in the song, prayers, and preach words for all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, King Darius. We thank you and we appreciate you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Thanks. Yes, we want to acknowledge the youth all around the world, you know, that you are important and that we need you, okay? All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways into the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Clyburn. Appreciate you, King Darius. Amen. Darius Freeman. King. We got Prophet Malachi coming later for altar call, but thank God for all y'all. You know, I love youth. It used to be on just the fifth Saturday, but now it's fourth and fifth Saturday. And I love it because we get a chance to hear some different kinds of music. You know, I listen to Christian radio stations all week long, you know, Praise Detroit for the most part. And you never really get to hear what they might call the hip-hop artists, you know, those who of a different generation, and so they appreciate a different kind of music, but with the same words about Jesus. And what I love about the hip-hop artists, or there are two versions. There are Christians who rap, and then there are Christian rappers, and they're different. Okay, Christians who rap usually do secular and Christian music. Okay, but Christians who rap are solely Christians who rap with Jesus loudly displayed in all their music. Okay, and so we have a mixture of those two, but for the most part, you're going to hear Christian rap, because I feel like if you take Jesus' name out of the song, you've done nothing but create a secular song, because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. So when you take his name out, even though you're trying to underslide his word in, it just becomes positivity, and positivity won't draw nobody. But Jesus' name, if I be lifted up, I will draw. So I especially appreciate this opportunity to finally let these Christians who rap, Christian rappers, Christian hip-hop artists, amen, get some play. Amen, because they won't play them on the radio maybe once a week or in that thing they call the mix down. Oh, Lord, help me.
Put your hands to do this with good results. I'm telling you, I say that the Lord is good.
Yeah. Hey, let everybody say.
Give them praise, ain't worried about a thing, 'cause I'm walking in faith. Move mountains with my mind. I believe what I say. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. When I think about his goodness, this is doing something to y'all. So excuse me, bitch. I'm about to kick my shoe up and do my holy dance. I'm a praise in advance. Hallelujah.
That he has placed his name upon your forehead, and he calls you by his own name. I say that God said if you call upon him the more, that he will bless you the more. I call you blessed. I call you highly favored. I call you a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, I speak these blessings on you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Preach.
And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt
Preach.
Condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord.
Preach.
And that righteousness is of me, said the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it,
what?
Pain and a hurt.
Yeah.
Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt.
Yeah.
And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus. Devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here.
Yeah.
As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark.
Come
I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and ain't nothing they can tell me now.
Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he's fighting. Crying about life ain't nothing. One mad cause you trapped or the one hunting.
On.
Trapped in your own mind waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations you never let us down.
Jesus,
I know you're here with us now.
Jesus,
I know you're still with us now.
Keep it real with us now. I want to feel, show me how. Please,
let me take your hand, guide me.
What?
I walk slow but stay right beside
Please.
Me. Devil's trying to find
Please.
Me. Hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Life or death, live or die. I will never live a lie. I'm gonna get because I try.
Let's do this.
I'm giving it all away. No more hiding, no more stalling. I hear you calling me, and I'm coming. See me running. I give in. I give in. You're in. I give in.
myself. Look tight low when I know ain't nobody else. When I'm focused now and I know it's all about you. You always see me through, that's what you do. Tell me where would I go and where would I be? Love, love's hard to find but you blind and losing your way. And now ain't nobody else for me, it's just you. You got my time all the time, anytime I'm on you. Me and they say I'm going too far, but it's satisfying my soul to give you my all. They don't understand what I got, it's so real. They can talk about me, they can kick me out, but can't take away what you give. People telling me that I'm probably too far gone, but they don't understand where I've been and they walk the road that I walked on. Tell me who I'm gonna call on, what solid ground can I fall on? You everything that I never dreamed of, you give me meaning, it's all on you. You know you got me deep up in this thing, I'm all in. I swear ain't no love like this love that I've been giving. I can't resist, it's just too much, your love is endless. And I don't care what they say no more, no way I did it.
Comes the sea, you're in the water sea.
Thank you, Father God in heaven. We come to you thanking you for this day. Thank you for waking us up and keeping us safe. Thank you for meeting all our needs. Also, thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we know we are not perfect, and we need your forgiveness. Please forgive us of every sin we have committed. Father God, we ask for direction in our lives. We ask for a sound mind so we have a clear vision for what you want us to do for you. God, you know your word frontwards and backwards, so you know what you meant in Proverbs 22:6, which says, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Thank you, Lord, for telling this to the grown-ups. We pray that they will obey you, because if they do this, they will give us a solid foundation. God, you also know that Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father, we need to hear and learn your word. We thank you for good biblical teachers who preach messages about Christ so that we can be faithful followers. Although we are young, we know that we need to be able to reach others through the message of your word. So please help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, it's recorded in Acts 8:31, the Ethiopian asked how he could understand your word and let someone explain it to him. So he invited Phyllis to sit with him, and he learned. We see in that story just how important it is for us to listen to our parents. We also need to watch the example they set. So we pray for the adults now, Lord God. Father God, please bless the leaders so that they will make the right decisions concerning our education and safety as we return to school all over the world. Let them be mindful of your warning about mistreating others. You said in Matthew 18:6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in you, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Lord, we pray that this will not be necessary and that the adults will just do what you tell them to do. Lord, hear our prayers, and Lord, we know above all you can protect us whether we are at home, at school, on the bus, or even walking here and there. You are everywhere, and we are grateful. Please wrap your arms of love around us. Thank you, Lord. Even though we are youth, with you by our side, we can change the world in the way you intended it to be. Lord, we love you. We praise you with all our heart and soul. We lift you up and magnify your name, and our hearts are filled with praise. Lord, in all ways, We will acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, we are so grateful. Amen.
You cry, you feel my embrace. I'm wiping the tears that roll down your face. I'm in the midst of it all. Please don't worry. I'm in the midst of it all.
Trust and believe. I'll never leave you lonely. I need. Down the storm,
you are here.
I can hear you knocking.
Thank you, Malachi, Dr. Malachi, for being and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and have a great day. You know, we want to just thank God and thank you for the youth, for this youth day, and just thank you for youth all around the world. You know, we really need you. We need you, okay? So far, we're having a great time this morning with more to come, and I want to just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. After this next selection, the next voice you will have the session of hearing back in the saddle and doing well is our very own brother, man of God, Minister John McFaul. Prepare to receive Minister John McFaul coming his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Doesn't feel like things are getting better. Can't escape the pain, it saturates everything. What's the answer? People dying, mothers crying, hearts aching. Sickness spreading, honestly, I hope it's fading. Everywhere I see negativity, yeah. Find a faith to pray, it's so hard. What's the answer? Lord, my money got me stressing more than ever. All is marching, Lord, help us come together. You're the only one wise.
Hello, hello, hello. Test of the mic. You guys out there? Hello?
Yeah, you all.
Good morning to you. My name is Jarrell McFalls, coming to you live from Lincoln Park, Michigan, via Blog Talk Radio and Runner for Christ Ministries. Good morning to you. It's good to hear the young people, Darius and Malachi. Great job. Before I start, let me go into prayer. Father God, we thank you for this new day you're giving us, Father. Thank you for watching over us through the nighttime hours, waking us up to be a part of this new day. Give glory to your name, in Jesus' name. I thank you for Pastor O and his wife for allowing us to be a part of the family of Blog Talk Radio and the family of Wonderful Christ Ministries and the body of Christ. That's a whopper right there, all together. All right, today I'm going to talk about two words that stuck out to me this week. There's some variations between the two of them, but it's scriptural. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. We heard that many times in our lifetime about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And the reason why that is so important from a biblical standpoint is that God wants us to be free. He wants us to know the truth and be free. For example, let me give you a couple of examples. People would tell you, you know, like, there's only one way to get to God, or there's many ways to get to God. Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. On the surface, that sounds good, but if you have a different way to get to Jesus, and the Bible teaches us the only way to him, right, then one of us is lying. It's not your truth or my truth. It's one of us is lying. We can't have the same different truths about the same thing when Jesus made it clear. And so people like to, you know, if you have an opinion, that's okay. I can deal with an opinion. But what I cannot deal with, you're telling me there's many ways to get to God. No, God made it clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And no one gets to the Father but through him. You know, people have a unique way of twisting things. And that's why the truth is so important. So if you face somebody that is not truthful, you know how to deal with them. Don't deal with them trying to combat with your own words. Use the scriptures. Jesus did it when he got approached by Satan. He didn't try to take him on. He said, but the word said, but God said. And that's real talk. And he said, you know, let me go back to scripture. You know, let me tell you what my Father said. You know, in other words, I know you lied to me because you're the grandfather of lies. You know, the worst type of person that you can ever run across, I think, is people who lie to themselves. And not only that, they not only lie to themselves, they believe the lie that they told themselves. That's a dangerous path to walk on. You know, that's why you have to teach your kids early on. And that's why you yourself have to be truthful with your own kids. It's the truth of the truth is painful in some cases. Yeah, it is. In some cases, it's not. But the truth is what it is. Either you're going to stand by that truth or abandon the truth. God called us to know the truth, to know how to use his word to defend a lie. And we need to stand on that. You know, I talk to my kids, and I'm truthful with them. You know, of course I'm their dad, but if you start lying to your kids, it's only a matter of time before they start lying to you. Then you get mad at them for lying to you when you taught them how to lie altogether. But being truthful is the easier path, because when you start lying, you got to remember the lies you told yesterday, day before yesterday, and day before yesterday. It's a lot easier to tell the truth because you don't have to guess what you said yesterday, because the truth is going to reveal that. You know, the Bible said the truth will set us free. What exactly does that mean? Free from what? What is the Bible going to set us free from? So God must have known, I dealt a scene or heard that people will get in bondage with their own sin because they don't know the word of God and they don't know the truth. So you're living in a form of bondage because you believe in your own lies or you believe in people who don't know God. And that's critical. It's critical to understand that. The truth will set you free from all the lies, not some of them, all the lies. God wants our minds to be free. People will lie to you all day, but if you know the truth, the lie doesn't stand. So young people, I'm speaking to you today. Know the truth. Your parents tell it to you. Hold on to it. The word of God tell you. Hold on to it. So when the world starts to lie to you, when your friends start to lie to you, when your neighbors start to lie to you, when the guys you go to school with start to lie to you, you can stand on the word of God and his truth. That's why God wants us to be free, because it frees up our mind from all the lies that we have heard and what people have told us. That's why it's critical to understand that. You know, I tell my kids, you know, practice being truthful, because, you know, it's beneficiary. God put it in his word for a reason. God word benefit us. We don't benefit it. We spend half our time screwing up, and we got to get on our knees and ask God for forgiveness. When the truth of his word sets us free from the lies of the world, and that's important to understand. You know, sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes parents lie to their kids. What is the purpose of lying to your kids? They live with you. They see you every day. They see your habits. They hear what you say. They see what you do. Why lie to them? They're right there with you. And also, you're teaching them how to lie. You know, you're teaching them to go against God's word. You know, people say little white lies. I don't care if it's a white lie, blue lie, yellow lie, green lie. It's a lie. No matter how you cut it, it's a lie. I try very hard in my spirit to be truthful to myself. I know the word of God. I hold on to it because the worst thing can never happen is me lying to myself and believing. One thing is to lie to yourself. Other thing is to believe what you're saying is true. When you know it's a lie, that's some serious bondage that you locked up. You jacked up in the head. God has given us a clear way out through his word, and that's something we need to hold on to. That's something that we need to remember at all times. All times. especially these young people, they're bombarded with so much social media, you know, they cannot discern what's a lie and what's the truth. You know, you have to remember that Satan knew the word, but he twisted it at the end. And that's what people do. They give you half of God's word, and the other half, they give you their words, right? And it sounds true. It's more like one of those Medea stories, you know. So we know Noah didn't go down 4th Street, then turned to right and went down the Outer Drive, then hopped into the Detroit River and went on about his way. Well, Noah did get into a boat. Yeah, he did do that. But we know he didn't do it here. He did it years ago in a place that God had appointed for him to do it. But that's why it's important to get up under, when you hear a pastor O say, get up under a Bible teaching church, right? Just don't go to church. Go to learn God's word. If they don't say, this is what it say, and John, da-da-da-da-da, if you don't see a pastor sit up there in a whole hour and don't open his Bible. Now, there's some pastors that's very good. They know scripture, and I like those too. But they'll direct you to a verse. And John, da-da-da-da-da, it says this. So you could take notes while you're listening to him and go back later and look at what he told you. Read what he told you so you'll know the word of God for yourself. You know, that's one thing that didn't happen before, I realized from going to church, is that everybody listened to the pastor. They say, what the pastor said, but the pastor said, but the pastor said, but the pastor said. I said, okay, have you ever read them verses? No. They said, but the pastor said, pastor can help you get to heaven. He ain't heaven. He ain't Jesus. He's not God. So he can only do so much. But we appreciate our pastors for those who give us the truth of God's word, not lie to us. There are some pastors that, they protect the offering plate. They don't want to step on anybody's toes because they may make someone upset and the offering going to go down. What's more important, receiving money or telling me the truth? I can deal without the money, but I'd be devastated if I can't get the truth. Hear that. You know, people would do a lot of crazy things against God's will for money. It's a lot easier to stick with the truth. God will honor those who teach his people the truth and why we should know the truth, how we should live in the truth, how the Bible calls us to be trustworthy. Are you trustworthy? Can you trust the things your pastor say to you? Does he direct you to go read the word of God? It's critical to get into a Bible-based church. Not any, you know, if they ain't talking about Jesus, if they're not telling you how to get saved, right, then I don't know why you're there, because Jesus' purpose was what? To save us. Said that he don't want any man to perish. Not one. Not one. So that means that we need to be on a mission to know the truth. So when people ask us, we can tell them. We don't have to say, pastor said this. No. We can say in 1 John, da-da-da-da-da, this is what it says. These are God's words, not my words. I tell people that all the time. No. John didn't come up with this. These words were written a long time ago. I'm glad they were written because I'm able to learn. I'm glad that our behavior over all these years. We may have all the technological things, right? But we still have the same behavior. What happened back in Jesus' time happening now. Brides and people taking people wives and people getting drunk. Nothing has changed. The human attitude toward life has not changed. They were lying back then. They lied today, you know. But you had God people at every phase of our generation to have his people stand up for the truth. That's what I love about God, because the body of Christ is everywhere speaking truth. Not lies, truth. And we want them, we want people to know the truth. We want to live out the truth in our own lives. We want our kids to be truthful. Like I said, you teach your kids how to lie, don't get mad when they lie to you. Well, you got to look at who taught them. So it's critical because people are watching us. They're watching everything we do. And the moment you make one error, they try to call it out on you. You know, for one, we're not perfect people. We are a work in progress to the end. God knew that. But the difference is we have truth in our hands. We just got to open the Bible. We got to read it and know it for ourselves. I think that's important. People lose sight of that. But not me. Not me. You know, I tell people, I don't care how painful it is. Tell me the truth. I decide on how I'm going to handle the truth, but give me the truth. Right, so I know, okay, I can make a better decision with the truth. I can make a bad decision with a lie. So I'm the type of individual who wants to know the truth. I remember when I was going to the doctor, I said, Doc, it seemed like I'm going to lose parts of my body. What do you think? Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. So I can start the process of digesting what they said, right? Researching what they said. Then I know how to respond to it better. But when you start to lie, the worst thing to do is have a doctor that lie to you. You know, he's dealing with your health. He has it in his hand. And I haven't met any doctors to the Christians. I just haven't. I don't know if we don't talk about it or it's prohibited in the workplace. You know, sometimes your spirit would tell you if your doctor is legitimate with what he's telling you or not. You have to have the spirit or discernment to know that, you know. So while we're bombarded by the lies, you know, that people tell us, what we see, what we hear, stick your head in the Bible and learn the real truth of God's word. Then you can govern yourself accordingly. That's why I said earlier, you can make a better decision with the truth, knowing the truth, as opposed to someone telling you a lie. With a lie, you know, it hurts you because you're going to make a bad decision that you're going to regret. You know, I don't mind making mistakes. That's part of living. But I do know how to recover. I know how to get on my knees and ask God for forgiveness. But that truth is something that I need. You know, if an orange, people would tell you, like, my orange is yellow. Now, an orange has been orange forever. And they would tell you, oh, that's my truth. Well, that truth is a lie. As long as we have known what an orange is, it's always been orange. You know, so because it's your truth, don't mean it's the truth. It's just your truth. If orange is the orange, call it an orange. You know, just because you want the orange to be a different color, God said all oranges are orange. Now, what you want it to be is something in your head. They got nothing to do with the word of God, because what's in your head can be far from God, far from him. So that's one of the words I wanted to touch on today. But I got another word that I want to bring to your attention. Right? Let me see. Let me get my... I had my notes down. I don't know what I did with it. But we can talk about faith. What is faith? Why did God call us to be faithful? Why? Let me see if I can go back and get it. Give me a second, guys. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That was told to Sarah when God told her she was going to have a baby. It was told to Noah when he was building the boat. Noah didn't know, you know, if it would rain, because in their time, he never saw rain. So he couldn't really, you know, say, well, next week it's going to rain. We get a weather report on TV all the time, right? They try to tell us, and sometimes they roll. You tell you, light flurries. One thing we do know in Michigan that you don't have to get the weather about, it's cold. You don't need the news for that. But Noah didn't have a forecast. The only forecast that Noah had was from God. Just build it. That's all you got to do. And by faith, Noah said, okay, well, you know, let's go ahead and build it. God said, build it, build it. People must have thought he was crazy. They laughed at him. They saw him every day building. Probably wondering, why is this old man building this boat? There ain't been no water around here in years. But Noah stayed faithful to God. Faithful. Faithful to me is, you know, it's the Bible says things that you hope for that you cannot see. All right, let me see. I'm not going to go back and find it, but you get to hope for something that you don't see. Believe that it's going to happen. Have that type of faith, that now faith, right now. Right now, God can move right now. I have faith that our Lord can move. He can move. He can do this. And we need to understand that. You know, there's a lot of people that focus on making sure that you're not faithful. You're not faithful to yourself. You're not faithful to your family. You're not faithful to your spouse. And you're not faithful to God. God calls us to be faithful. You know, I know there's a story in the Bible that talk about deeds and faith. You can do all the work you can, right? If you don't have any faith, then what are you doing, right? Why are you doing what you do? What type of faith is making you do this? You can't do the deeds to get you a position in heaven. It don't work that way. But you have to have the faith that God is moving on your behalf. I'm not sure, what do you want? You know, my goal is to walk. I have faith that God will strengthen my body and allow for me to walk. But on the other hand, I got to go get some help. I go to rehab to strengthen my muscles so I can walk. But I have faith that God will give me the strength that I need to do it. You know, I have faith in the body of Christ. I have seen the movement of the body of Christ, especially in this pandemic. You really see the body of Christ rising up all over, feeding neighbors, clothing neighbors. You know, Jesus said if you took care of one of these, you stacking up the cards. You're doing some good for me. You know, we are his eyes. We are his ears. We are his hands. So we have to move like Christ wants us to move. And we have to have the faith in our heart to know that God will get the outcome that he wants. And I think that's critical. You know, we have faith in our cars. Every day we go to our car, stick the key in, and turn it. We have faith that that car will start. Why we can't have faith in God? You know, we got faith that when we order some fried chicken from KFC, that delivery man gonna come. Why can't we trust God? Sometimes I think we put our faith in the wrong place. We put our faith in the wrong things. We need to put our faith where it needs to be so God can respond accordingly. If you got something on your heart, you're going through financial issues, you got medical issues, you got kids issues, you got spousal issues, you have to know that God's desire for us is to bring these issues to him. Have faith that God will move on your behalf. Because, again, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible. If you ain't holding on to God, if you don't have faith that he can come through, it is impossible to please him. You hear me? Impossible. This is the word of God. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. But I want you to know that being faithful is what God requires us to do and to be. To be faithful to his word, to be faithful to his people, and just be faithful in your attitude towards our living God. I hope the young people are getting this, and I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible, but I want them to understand, you know, once you start to go to that path of unbelief, if you're not going to believe in God, what do you believe in? That's the question I'm throwing out there. If you don't believe and have faith that God can move on your behalf, what are you believing? You know, where's your faith at? Yeah, you know, I have faith that God will open up this door for me. And I can see it. But I hold on to my faith in God. I can go the other way and be negative, but why? It already happened. I already got to deal with it. I just ask God to give me the grace I need to make it through each day. That's why I thank God for all our brothers and sisters that constantly lift me up in prayer. I thank you guys. Because I understand that, and you understand, that if we all believe God for what I'm asking for, and you send enough prayers up to our Lord, he hears them. And I have faith. I have faith all these years. I don't care how much I screwed up in my life. I don't care. But one thing I never wavered from is my faith in the Lord. That is a foundation I received at a very young age. And I'm glad I did, because now that I'm older, I really appreciate all those individuals that took the time to give me a solid foundation so I have something to come back to. That's why I'm a big believer in teaching kids the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. That don't mean they're going to have problems in the interim. Yeah, they're going to have their problems. We all going to have problems. Jesus told us we're going to have problems, but giving them the truth of God's word, you know, letting them understand what being faithful is all about, to me, that's what it's about. You know, so I thank you for all those guys who who laid the foundation of truth and faith, right? And that didn't give me their words, that they gave me God's words. You know, I don't need your words. You can talk all day. I need from the word, what thus saith the Lord? What is he saying? What does it say in his word about this situation? It's in there somewhere. There's nothing in that Bible that's not taking place on a day-to-day basis in our world today. We just got to seek his word, seek the truth of his word, and hold on to it. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of people out here trying to discourage you from your faith, try to get you to walk away from your faith, try to focus on you not being faithful. You know, we get caught up in the emotional aspect. You know, I know that people who serve the Lord are with the Lord. That's the truth I hold on to. And I know that those that are left behind would be faithful to the Lord so they can see their loved one day. It's all intertwined circle. It all goes together. But God wants us to be faithful to his word, to those in our inner circle, for those in our civic life. God wants us to be a people of faith. People can see, you know, they can see right through it. If you come with something different, something strange, they're like, that don't sound like it's in the Bible. You know, a kid can tell you, if you start talking about Jesus rode on the back of a bumblebee and he flew to America, even the kid would know, that don't even sound right. But if you say that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, a kid would tell you, yeah, I heard that before. When we go to church, that's what they talk about. Or at home, my mama talk about it, you know. And so that's why it's critical to teach your kids. My goal was to focus on the word truth, not your truth, the truth of God's word, and to be faithful. What is be faithful to the calling that God has called upon your life? Those two words stuck out to me this week. I said that instead of having one sermon about one word, let me combine them. Part one was the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the light, and what? The truth. I'm setting you free from the lies. I'm speaking truth into your life. So don't believe the lies. And he wants us to be faithful to God, faithful to our families and friends, faithful because we represent him. Sometimes we lose sight of that. We represent a living God who require and demand that his people live up to a standard that God required. Let me close out in prayer. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for allowing me to expound on the word of God. This is not something that you never heard before. I just want to go more in depth. And these words kind of reached out to me. I hope that they pierce your heart, that you exhort the word of the Lord today. And no, these are not my words. These are words from the Lord. So I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this Youth Saturday. I thank you for all the young people who heard this message. Father, and the older folks, that they will hold on to your truth. They will remain faithful to you, Father. And I thank you for this day. As we continue to go throughout this day and out this service, bless your people. Bless them, Lord. Protect them. Keep all harm from them on this. And I thank you for the opportunity that Runner for Christ gives me to come on Blog Talk Radio to share your word. Hey, guys, I just want to let you know, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. Soon, you know, by the grace of God, I'll be walking. And I just want to thank you guys for the prayers, for the support. They're heartfelt. You know, I know that you guys mean what you say. And I personally want to thank you. I don't think I had a chance to thank you guys for that, but I do thank you. And I thank you for our family at Running for Christ Ministries. And I thank you for the body of Christ that continues to show up in all phases of life in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me kick it back to Reverend O, and I know he's going to kick it to Krista. Krista, sorry to hear about your mom.
Krista,
sorry to hear about your mom. May her soul rest in peace.
Yes, as it shall. And I thank you so, so much for that love and those kind words. And, you know, we're so happy to hear your voice. And, you know, but just what you talked about today, I remember Pastor Janice, she taught in one of her mini classes, I can't even remember which one it was, she talked about this word came up called the plumb line. And I said, a plumb line, what is that? And so I had to look it up. And the plumb line is the standard by which we have to live, the example by which we are required to live. And Jesus is that plumb line. And we are required as children of God to live by the standard that was set by Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was perfect. He didn't have to leave heaven and come down and die for our sins, the many past, present, and future sins we haven't even committed yet. He didn't have to do that, but he did. So when you speak about the truth, you know, the enemy comes and makes everything. He doesn't come with the red horns and the pitchfork and the long red tail. No, he comes almost showing everything to be perfect and to be in order and to be truthful. And that's why it's so important for us and our young people to know the word of God and to be able to discern the truth from a lie. And the thing about it is that we have 66 books in the Bible that tell us the standard by which we should live and what deciphers the truth from a lie. So, you know, listening to your word, it was so awesome. And then when you talked about, you know, being faithful and hopeful and true, all of those things, like you said, intertwine together. And again, it's the standard by which we live. The Bible is here to tell us how it is that we should live, because Jesus was perfect and he came for us because he knew we wouldn't be. He knew that we needed a savior. And so Jesus chose to die on the cross for us. And so you don't have to be perfect, but you do need to be progressive and just trying to transform your life by the word of God. So I just want to say thank you so much. That word was awesome. It was so good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for the condolences. And I just want to say as well, thank you to everybody who has prayed, who has texted, who has called, who has emailed. In the passing of my mom, she is most definitely resting in peace. It's weird because I see her all the time in heaven with all of our mothers at Running for Christ who have gone before her, Mother Alicia, Mother Phillips, Mother Norwood. I just see them all together just laughing and enjoying and just being peaceful and just being perfect. So her services were last Saturday. It was so wonderful to see everybody and to receive the support and the love and the comfort. And so, you know, we thank you for your continued prayers. My family and I are truly, truly grateful. But, hey, in my mom's true fashion, no matter what was going on, she was still pushed past what was going on to handle her business. So I am back on my announcements, on my job. Here I am. Amen, y'all. So good morning. Happy Saturday. It's so good to be back. Just want to read a couple of announcements for you. Sunday, January 23rd, which is tomorrow. Unbelievable already that this month is gone. We will hold our in-person worship service. Service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team, our amazing praise team, leading us in song and in worship. The preached word will be brought to us by Awesome O, our very own Pastor O. You are most definitely welcome to join us. We ask that you wear a mask in service. If you don't have one, no worries. One will be provided for you at absolutely no cost. If you're not able to come in person, it's okay. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on recorded Sunday services. Amen. Also, don't forget, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on Blog Talk Radio With her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Please visit our Christian Resources page at rfcm.org for more information on calling in or logging in to be able to participate in her show. Don't forget that our Bible teacher training class for teachers at Run for Christ Ministries is on Mondays at 7 p.m. We know that our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, is the teacher. We're just getting started. So we know that it's going to get deeper as time goes on, but we also know that the Lord is really working with us and through us to take us to another level. So we are excited about that. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading classes here on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Charles Mackey will be teaching from the book of Psalms, chapters 71 to 75. The questions are available online at our church website, rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes, and they will be also on the back table on Sunday for those who are in-person services. Also, don't forget, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Amen. So for more information, click on Christian Resources at our church website, rfcm.org. Pastor Janice is the teacher for that. Also, if you want to pay your tithes, any offerings, please visit our church website, again, rfcm.org, and click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give the preacher that preached today, Pastor John McFall, a love offering, please remember to specify the name when you give your offering, and we will see to it that they receive it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with them. Amen. Just want to remember to pray for Brother Tyrone Hamilton. Remember to pray for our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also, please continue to pray for all of the bereaved families everywhere. Amen. Happy, happy birthday to Blog Talk Radio listeners all over the world. But you know, we love to show, you know, our love and adoration for those at Run for Christ Ministries who are celebrating their birthdays this month. So my wonderful pen pal, a.k.a. Baby Holy Ghost, a.k.a. her real name, Sheila O. Sheila O'Rourke, celebrated her birthday on January the 4th. Mother Irma Miller also celebrated on January the 4th. And Doris Gaither will be closing us out on January the 30th. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to everyone. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 reads, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And so we know, excuse me, that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. We know that a kind word goes a long way. We know that the gift of love is free, and the warm, cozy smile of somebody is the universal language of kindness. So please take some time to be some sunshine to somebody today in your world, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it." Amen? Amen. And your devotional for today is a prayer to seek the Lord, and this is by Tiffany Theobald. "Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." And that's 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. If you seek him, you will find him. What an amazing promise. There are so many times in life when struggles become trials, when expectations, demands, and pressures just build. It sometimes seems that God is absent from the hard places in our lives. This verse points out that the opposite is true. God is absolutely there in every part of our lives. This verse tells us that the Lord sees every heart, knows every plan, and most definitely knows every single one of our thoughts. This is the key to our journey through the ups and downs of our days, remembering that he is with us. We must make worshiping the Lord a priority in our life. We must choose to worship him with our whole heart. not just on Sundays during the church service, but we must worship him in every moment of all the rest of the days of the week. We worship him as we pray, as we read the word, and as we meditate on the scriptures. We absolutely worship as we seek to honor him through every one of our attitudes and actions. As we worship him, we fall more in love with him, and out of that love comes a deep desire to serve him. Not only are we to serve him with our whole heart, which equates with serving him with our lives, but we must also do it with a willing mind. This means that we must allow our minds to be teachable and directed by the Lord. We do this as we set aside our expectations and our understanding of how we think things should go and tell our minds that God is doing things his way, and his way is always the best. Things happen. People are difficult. Yet as we worship and serve him with all our heart and seek him in every situation, we can have joy knowing that as we seek him, we will find him. And that is an amazing promise. This verse is also very clear about something else. If we forsake, abandon, or turn away from God, he will do the same towards us. How horrible to go through the rest of our lives without having the Lord to guide, protect, and love us. Today, we make an effort to turn to the Lord and worship and serve him with all your heart and with a ready and willing mind, determined to seek him every moment for every single day for the rest of your life. Make this choice and see God do amazing things as you worship and serve him. So we say this prayer together. Dear Lord, thank you that you see my heart and that you know every plan and thought that I have. Thank you for your powerful promise that if I seek you, I will find you. Give me a deeper hunger for you. Fill me with your spirit that I would seek you more, that I would love you more, and that my mind would be filled with more of you. Help me as I go through this day that I would see each challenge as an opportunity to worship and serve you. May you be glorified with how I live on this day. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
See, if Jesus gave me an awesome word on prayer and an awesome devotion, then people wouldn't be like, "Where Chris do at? Why are you doing announcements? Where Chris do at?" I'm like, you know, don't you like my announcements? Aren't they the same ones? You don't do them like Crystal.
Look,
she had devotions and stuff.
You be tired anyway.
I'm telling you.
You be like ready to be going on with the day. You've been up and studying and reading and all types of stuff, so it's okay.
We are good. We got some glad to be back today. I am so glad you are back, you know, because, you know, you know, announcements, that's just, you know, we tried, me and Kat.
That's all right.
We tried. I was
y'all
so mad at it.
That's okay.
Jesus told me, let Kat do it. I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm reading the announcements. He's like, well, you know.
It's okay. Like, it's all right.
So, you know, I'm glad you're back. We tried.
Me too. That's
Crystal,
okay.
Chris,
you did a wonderful job.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
That's the thing. You know, we all
first John
in our
nine.
Own lane.
My lane was crashing.
<It's okay. laughs>
Oh, Jesus.
I got the wheel back now. It's all good.
Thank you, Jesus, because they threw the spike strips out on me. They're like, stop it, boy. Stop it.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, good.
I got the wheel back now. We're all good.
But, Crystal, that sermon,
yes.
Though, truth and faith, Lord have mercy.
That's huge. That's huge, especially
much power.
For our children. Yeah.
Oh, Lord have
that
mercy.
Much power. Yeah. Our children,
amen.
Our kids, and not just little kids. You know, when we say children, we're just thinking about, you know, 3, 4, 5 year olds. Absolutely not. It is even more so for our preteens and our teenagers and our young adults, because as you get older, there just comes a different level of understanding and acceptance, and you can put A and B together and, you know, get one and one and get two, you know. So it's really important, like Pastor John Mack says, you know, you don't have to really tell your kids anything. They see how you live. They see what you do. And if you start lying to them and they start finding out the truth elsewhere, then you're going to have a problem. Yeah, you're going to have a problem, because then when they start lying to you, you're going to be mad. But you taught them how to do it. You know, and so that's the beauty. When nobody's perfect, and we don't have to be. Jesus died for all of that. But like he said, it don't matter if the lie is white, blue, green, yellow. If it's anything that God did not say, it's a lie, period.
It's
and we don't
a lie.
Have one book. We have 66 books that is in that is bound between two leather pieces, you know what I'm saying, to compose how it is that we're supposed to live. And so it may not be a word-for-word situation in the Bible for something that you're going through, but trust and believe there is nothing that you can go through that is not addressed in some way, shape, or form in the Word. So you may not find a word-for-word situation like, okay, this person, you know, stubbed on my toe and they didn't apologize. Well, you know, there's no chapter for that, but it does talk about, you know, turning the other cheek and, you know, forgiving someone when they do, you know, wrong things against you and things like that. So you have to know how to put two and two together. Use what's going on in life and read the Word of God and put those things together and figure out how you need to adjust yourself to fit what the Word of God says. And yeah, people may not want to be around you once you start making those changes, but it doesn't matter, because what matters is your faithfulness and your obedience to the Word of the Lord. Because people might bless you with a little bit. They'll bless you with worldly stuff. But see, Jesus will bless you with spiritual things, and he will put his super with your natural, and you'll get supernatural things working out in your life when you do what the Word of God says. All right? Amen? Okay, that was
see,
my turn. Didn't mean to do that, but praise God.
It's John Mack's fault, right? Pastor Mack.
Really,
he made that happen.
Yes.
We'll blame him.
For our kids. Our kids are out here, and it seems like they are just all willy-nilly all over the place because social media is running their lives, you know, their friends. If you don't tell your kids the truth, they will seek it elsewhere. Kids seek stability. They look for stability. So, you know, when kids are all over the place, it's because they're crying out for stability that they don't know that they really need. So, you know, they're being taught by the world, and we know that the world is evil. It's a lie. So when you don't have a standard, that's the Word of God, you're all over the place and you don't know the truth. So his Word was really important. It was right on time, especially for our young people. Now, grown folks, obviously, we can all take a line or two, obviously, because none of us are perfect. But for our kids, it's really, really important because we're moving further into technology, further into computers, and further away from what the Word of God says. And that's how the enemy is doing it. But don't ever forget, you know, God is sovereign. And while it may seem like the earth is being ran all types of crazy, the Lord still holds the deed to this world. Satan is just the manager. He just, you know, renting. He just, whoever it is that's out here doing, but the Lord is still sovereign, and he still runs everything. So, you know, Dr. Tony Evans, if all you see is what you see, you don't see all that there is to be seen. So read the Word. Use the Word as a tool to help you adjust your life to the Word of God. And again, you'll see some powerful things happen when you align yourself with what God says. And I'm done, for real. Like, I'm gonna mute myself. I don't know where this came from.
If y'all talk about us preachers finding 15 closes. That's your for real close.
That's my for real close.
And y'all talk about us. It's in the pew now. Amen. The unable to close is in the pew. To hit the pew. Thank you, Crystal. We're so glad you're back.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
The announcements
I'm so
and everything
that.
Else.
Absolutely.
Tell me and we say right. What's up.
I sure will. Thank you.
Hey, man, that's what you get at Running for Christ. You get the pew turning into preachers. And I ain't no preacher, but they preach. I ain't no teacher, but they teach. Hey, man. Brother Preacher, Pastor, give us some closing words, and then we can continue on with this Saturday. I just want to thank you for allowing the Lord to go ahead and use you the way he wanted to, and I'm glad he brought both parts truth. Amen. That's what God said about any and everything, and then faith is applying what God said about any and everything. So those two go together. Faith and truth have kissed and hugged, and you made them made up today. And I thank God for that, that we need God's truth to have faith in. Oh, Lord, have mercy to make it through this life. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Give us some few words, and then we out of here.
Well, for the family, I just want y'all to know that no matter what, I need the truth in my life. I need to govern myself in such a way that I won't be fooled or you know, set a trap to fall into what's a lie. You know, so I prefer to know the truth at all costs. Oh, I need to know the truth so I can know really what to do. I thank you for the platform that Runner for Christ has given me and many other of our team members. We're a team to preach the truth of God's word and not depart from it. You know, to be truthful to his word, to be faithful in our spirit, and to really reach out to the young people. They're struggling to make a way, but it's our job to make a way. We have been through a lot in our lifetime. We know some things by now. We know one thing that Jesus saved. We know one thing that Jesus got on that cross and died for us. We know one thing that he rose and was seen by 500 people. These are things that we know. But these are also the things we need to teach our kids. So, Pastor O, I thank you for the opportunity. And I'm a close in prayer. Father God, we thank you again for this day. We ask for your protection and your traveling mercies as we go throughout this day. Father, cover your people. And for those who's not saved, pray that they will bump into someone in the body of Christ that would deliver truth to them, Father. So we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for those that administer your word, those who meditate and pray for us as we seek to do your will, Father God. And we just thank you for our team. We got a dynamic team that run up for Christ. We have our own way of delivering your word. But one thing we can say, that is your word. It's not ours. So we just thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for keeping all harm from us, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Have a blessed day, and I can't wait to see you walk inside the church, and I know it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the preacher. We thank God for Deaconess Clyburn, who's the presiding person. For King Darius Freeman and King Malachi Freeman, want to thank their mama for getting them both involved in church. Now that they are grown young men, they're keeping it up themselves. I was so impressed to see them in church and waited for their mama to walk in. But mama had something else to do, but they came to church on their own. That's how it's supposed to work. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. When your mother and father forsake you, Jesus say, I'll take you up. Now you can walk with me like they do. Amen. I want to close with this song. Well, let me give a quick announcement. On January 29th, they'll be holding memorial services for Kim Suttles at 1 p.m. at Church of the Resurrection, where we hold our church services at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, on January 29th, they'll have memorial services for Kim Suttles at 1 p.m. She was a member of the Church of Resurrection, but she was also the one who would keep the church clean so that we could have our worship services. So remember, January 29th, memorial services for Kim Suttles, 1 p.m. at Church of the Resurrection, 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Now, this song that I'm about to play is he's a Christian rapper. Jesus' name really up in the songs, right? But he went to college. And it's what Pastor John McFaul just preached about and how important it is for our teach our kids the truth, because one day they're going to leave our house and have to live according to that truth. So he's going to talk about how important the truth was to him when he hit college and some other truths popped up that he hadn't heard about before. And his truth was challenged by those truths. And he says, the song is entitled, Give Us the truth. God bless you. God keep you. Let me give you a quick amen benediction, and then we can go ahead and listen to the song and get into the rest of our day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till we all meet again, the whole church said, amen.
Give us the truth.
Part two.
Give us the truth.
Huh. For every email, for every phone call, for everybody that came up to me at a show, here's part two. Listen, yo.
After the Platinum Souls tour, I deal with cross movement. I said my goodbyes because I had to fly back to St. Louis. I left the tour early for my first semester in school. I was exposed to so much truth that I had to choose between what I had learned and what I was taught to do. In my church, on my zone, I was so confused. The first Sunday morning back, it was like culture shock. Watching the shepherd and sheep is flow like a soda pop. That heaven shaking, they shaking over these sighty sermons. People spitting and shouting, but nobody's discerning. I left the building, my feelings were crushed, I felt forsaken. The one place I was supposed to come for restoration. In worship of a holy God and exalt him in praises. Spent the whole prayer time rebuking the Satan. Spent the whole sermon time just talking about money. While I was dying inside, spiritually hungry. That's what we need if we gon' properly teach. If we gon' seek and we gon' properly reach. Effectively disciples of
as we wait for his second coming.